Well, after two delays, Sasol released its annual numbers today. Adjusted earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization fell by 9%. The results were placed on hold, of course, to investigate cost overruns of its flagship Lake Charles project, which will now cost the company as much as 190 billion rand, making it Sasol's single largest capital expenditure item. Following that cost surge, joint CEOs Bongani Mwababa and Stephen Cornell have opted to resign. Company CEO Designate and CFO Fleetwood Grobler and Paul Victor join us in studio now to discuss what this all means for the company's dot plot moving forward, if we can call it that. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us in studio this evening. And Fleetwood, I'm going to start off with you. Sweeping changes happening at an executive level. How are you feeling as you take over the reins of a project that will now cost between $12.6 and $12.9 billion, almost double the original budgeted amount, that has been an Achilles heel for the company and clearly puts a big question mark on the teams you have in place executing projects?
Yes, Alicia, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to give some perspectives. So I think we are at this point in time. I mentioned today the project is 90% complete by the end of this year in terms of installed capacity. And I think that means that we're getting to the end of the project. We also have indicated that we will conclude and do the last units by the first half of next year. So that will mark then the end of a long investment period, and we're looking forward to the returns of this large investment to our bottom line. So I think on the one hand, yes, I'm very disappointed in terms of all the cost overruns that has crept into the project. But on the other hand, I'm also excited to get this project now finally completed and that we can start generating the cash flows that we intended when we made this investment decision.
Outside looking in, one of the questions that was raised certainly in the newsroom today was, we've got an executive VP of a chemical division stepping in. Yes, who gained accountability oversight in May, but an executive at the business nevertheless now taking over as CEO. Do you not shoulder some of the blame of what's gone wrong here?
I think we, as a management team, are really disappointed in terms of what transpired with the project. So yes, you can see that we were part of the leadership team, and we have taken the accountability for that. And you have seen also that it's been announced that bonuses were moderated, and some of us, well, the whole group executive didn't get any bonus, which was justly then decided by the board. So I do think that in terms of the management team, we take accountability for that, and we take accountability to complete the project. And my short-term or near-term priorities is really just that. Make sure that we deliver this, make sure that we manage through this period our balance sheet, and then also to focus on our sustainability agenda.
Yeah. Paul, of course, it goes deeper than just at an executive level, because what's been highlighted is that a lot of change needs to happen on a cultural basis too. There's a company cultural shift that needs to happen. What's been the problem?
So ultimately, what we've experienced over the past couple of years, that there was a management team that, the way that I normally explain it to others, that were in charge of a very big investment for the company, and unfortunately didn't manage it the way that we are used to managing things at Sasol. Mm-hmm. So ultimately there was obviously in the Sasol context this culture of we can do things, and as the risks mounted later in the project, ultimately this can-do attitude was basically overshadowing maybe good judgment on that part. People felt that they didn't have the freedom to speak out and say that there's a problem coming, you have to do something about it. And ultimately, it was very much contained within that management team in Lake Charles. This is not pervasive in the rest of the organization. We actually have a good track record of good results, but we unfortunately had this issue. The big lesson for us in future is to put the right people in task of the right kind of type of accountabilities and the right size of projects. Big lessons learned for us, but we do believe that ultimately where we now, we can actually look forward to a more brighter future.
There's certainly no easy fixes on this front, and an analyst I was speaking to earlier today jokingly said, Fleetwood, I wonder if Fleetwood has a friendlier face, a more approachable face, so that people would feel comfortable in highlighting some of the problems that do persist. Let's look at cost overruns. As far as those costs around Lake Charles and that project is concerned, you're comfortable that it's going to now remain firmly between $12.6 and $12.9 billion?
We've done a lot of work since May to ensure that ultimately we identify the proper risks on the project, we have a high level of certainty that we will end in that range. It's quite essential. But I think very, very more importantly is that the project is now in its ramp-up phase. We need to ensure that those cash flows that we plan for is actually kind of hitting our income statement and then ultimately hitting our balance sheet. So we feel quite comfortable with regards to the cost estimate on the capital side of the project, but our immediate focus now as well is ensuring future cash flow generation.
You highlighted at the top, Fleet, with 90% of this project done. How soon before we start seeing the benefits and return on investment actually start to reflect on your bottom line?
So with over 60% of the project already operational, that is already off the starting blocks. We are out of the starting blocks. We are generating sales. We are generating turnover. So that journey has started. So we in the ramp-up phase now, as Paul indicated, we see that ramping up through next year. Mm-hmm. And I think we will start seeing that coming into the bottom line. And so we see that the whole project will turn cash positive within the next year.
Lake Charles, one of two major projects planned in the U.S. that were planned to significantly expand the company's international footprint. The second gas-to-liquids project was abandoned. Has the pause button been hit here? How much more cautious has this entire debacle with Lake Charles made you about venturing into international territory so aggressively?
Yes, a very good question. So when we indicated our stance with respect to large projects in our Capital Markets Day in 2017, we clearly indicated at that time that in future when we embark on larger projects, we will do it within a partnership. So that just mitigates the risk. It helps us to navigate areas that we were not maybe or are not that familiar with. So I don't think we will refrain from doing organic projects going forward, but I think we will do it with circumspection and look for the right partnering to approach it.
Absolutely. Let's leave it there, gentlemen. Thanks so much for having joined me in studio this evening. Of course, that Fleetwood Grobler, who's CEO-designate of Sasol, and Paul Victor, CFO of Sasol as well.